I'd like to begin with a story. It is a true story that I probably would have shared here at the assembly at some point. some years ago, I was listening to the news, and there was a news about a prisoner who was in prison for about 10 years. And due to the current DNA testing, they tested some of the samples that they had, and they found that this man was innocent. And he was released from prison after being in prison for 10 years. And they found him, not guilty, for the charge he was charged with. At the same time, there was another person, because of the exact same DNA evidence, was able to find the guilty person, and they arrested him and put him in prison for the rest of his life. Again, this was a murder charge. But again, I share this story, just so that you'll understand as we go through what we're going to do today, you'll come back to it and understand why I stated that story and why it actually came to my mind as I was preparing for this message today. what I'd like to do today is look at the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a small book in the Old Testament. It's one of the prophetic books, minor prophets, I was just going to say, minor prophets. And if you do not know exactly where it is, it's between Nahum and Zephaniah. And if you're going from the back of the book, from Malachi, it's the fifth book from the back of the Old Testament. Now, just to give a backdrop of this book, you know that Israel, the nation of Israel, was divided into two kingdoms after Solomon's reign. And there was the northern kingdom, which comprised of 10 of the tribes. And I guess maybe because of the majority of the tribes were part of the northern kingdom, it retained its name Israel. The northern kingdom was called Israel. But then the southern kingdom, which comprised of just two of the rest of the tribes, was Judah and Benjamin, was named Judah. And so that you had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And during Habakkuk's life, the northern kingdom was already taken captive by the Assyrian Empire, or the Assyrians. So the northern kingdom never existed at that time. So the prophecy of Habakkuk is to the southern kingdom of Judah. A few years later, the Babylonians invaded the southern kingdom and took the people of the southern kingdom captives. That happened in 586 BC. And it was 140 years prior to that that the northern kingdom was taken captive by the Assyrians. And as you know that, as we get into the book of Habakkuk, it's good to understand that that backdrop so that you can kind of understand where Habakkuk is coming from. let's turn to the book of Habakkuk. What I'd like to do today is kind of do an overview of the book of Habakkuk, kind of quickly. There's only three chapters, and then pick up a very important principle that applies to us today from the book of Habakkuk, and look at that principle. When you go through the first chapter, you'll notice that Habakkuk is not a very happy person there. He was kind of angry. He was frustrated with what was going on within his country, the southern kingdom. And first chapter, he is a very unhappy person. And there is a dialogue that happens between Habakkuk and his God in the first two chapters. Okay, that's what we'll look at. And then the last chapter is actually a song of worship that Habakkuk wrote in response to God. So I've got this printed out in my Bible is actually the King James Version. So I printed out this passage in NASB so that it's probably easier to read. Let's read from chapter 1 and verse 2. How long, Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear. I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, and therefore justice comes out perverted. You can see that Habakkuk is not a very happy person. He is making his first complaint here to God, and that is of the violence that's going on within his country, his countrymen. Everything was falling apart. There was moral disintegration everywhere that he looked. And he was frustrated as to why God was not doing something in the southern kingdom of Judah. And he was very distressed and frustrated with what was going on. And again, what I say, I'm going to go through this really quickly, the overview, and then look at how God responds. In verse 5, he says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans. What is God telling Habakkuk? Look, I am doing something. You know, you won't believe it if you hear it from me. I am raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to judge Judah. And then the following verses, God himself is telling how ruthless these Babylonians or the Chaldeans are. Verse 6, latter part of verse 6 is, they are fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Verse 9, and all of them come from violence. They hoard of faces, moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass. Some of the adjectives I wrote down after I read the passage, they're fierce, wicked, dreadful, selfish, dangerous, strong, evil, fearless, ruthless people, the Chaldeans. And what God has told Habakkuk is, I'm going to use the Chaldeans to judge the nation of Judah. But notice that last verse, verse 11, the latter part of last verse, it says, but they, this is God speaking, but they will be held guilty, the Chaldeans, they whose strength is their God. Although God was going to use the Chaldeans to punish or judge Judah, God is still going to hold them responsible for the evil. Because they're not going to get away either. As soon as Habakkuk heard this, he was not very happy either. He was angry, because how can God use such a ruthless nation to judge his country, Judah? Let's read from verse 12. It says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. What is he saying there? Because you're eternal, you're holy, because of who you are, because of your attributes, and because your promises are true to the nation of Israel, we are not going to die. I still have hope in you, is basically what he's saying. This is Habakkuk's confidence in his God. You will not destroy us, will you? You, O God, have appointed them to judge. It's like a question. You're going to appoint the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to judge Judah, your people? And you, O rock, have established them to correct us? Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously, Why are you silent when the wicked would swallow up those more righteous than they? That's interesting, isn't it? You know, look at what Habakkuk is saying. How can you use such an evil nation to punish your people? Okay? And a righteous more than they attitude. Righteous than they attitude. Think about it. Here, Judah was pretty much guilty of the very same offenses offenses of the people of Babylon. See, and God is going to use Babylon to punish or judge Judah, but he's saying that, well, we are better than they. You know, we're really not as bad as they are, and you're going to use them to punish us. That is not right. So clearly he was angry at God, what God was going to do. Notice verse 2, and it says, Habakkuk says, I will stand at my God post, a watchtower, and station myself at the rampant or parapet, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, what God would speak to me, and how I may reply when I'm reproved. He was very disheartened, and he said, I'm going to wait silently for God's answer. And God responds in verse 2 of chapter 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. His God is responding to Habakkuk in a vision here. He says, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Run for their lives. Okay? For the vision is yet to be for an appointed time. Yet for an appointed time, it hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come, it will not delay. What God is telling Habakkuk is the judgment is a certainty. The judgment of the northern kingdom, Judah, is a certainty. No matter how unhappy you are, that's not going to change. I am going to judge Judah with the Babylonians. But God then gives prophet Habakkuk a principle. Look at verse 4. He says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the just shall live by faith. But the just shall live by faith. An important principle that God gave Habakkuk. Now the Lord did not say that the Judah shall live by faith. Anybody that's righteous will live by faith. If there's unrighteous, ungodly in Judah, they will be judged. Okay? There was no... Judah didn't have a special place. If they're sinful, if they fail before God, they're going to be punished. Only the just, the remnant in the kingdom of Judah will live by faith. And then he talks about the judgment against the evil with five wars. Quickly go through that. In verse 6, you see, he says, well, warn to him, this is God speaking. And the entire chapter 2, excepting for verse 1, is God speaking to Habakkuk. In the latter part of verse 6, it says, woe unto him who reaps up what is not his own, taking advantage of others. Again, verse 9, the five wars you can see here. Second war. So woe to him who gets evil gain for his house to put his nest on high. Practice evil for gain, for his personal gain. Verse 12, woe unto him who builds a city with bloodshed, violence. Verse 15, woe unto you who make your neighbors drink a cup of wrath, mistreating your own neighbors. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you can say. Mistreatment. And in verse 19, the fifth woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a piece of stone arise. Idolatry. Idolatry. And verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. Tremendous words, isn't it? The Lord is in control. God is in control. God the Creator is in control. That's basically what he told Habakkuk. You know, in verse 3, chapter 3, as we get into chapter 3, Habakkuk is a changed person. He's not the person you saw in chapter 1. He's changed. And he writes a song of worship to God. And only one plea says in verse, latter part of verse 2 in chapter 3, he says, in wrath, God, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Be merciful, even in your wrath. And in verse 16, Habakkuk here accepts the reality that God's judgment was going to fall. Let's read verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones. And in my place, I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Now, Habakkuk accepts what God was going to do to him. He said he was going to wait patiently, whatever may. Again, the final verses there is very important. Here you see Habakkuk practicing or putting into practice the principle that God gave him. The just shall live by faith. Verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, everything has fallen apart. Everything is falling apart. There is nothing to look forward to. And he says, yet, verse 19, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord, on the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. This is God's principle in practice. The just shall live by faith. And everything was falling apart. There was nothing to look forward to. Habakkuk places his faith in God. So in summary, what we see in the book of Habakkuk is God's impending judgment of the southern kingdom of Judah by the Babylonian invasion and captivity. The book contains an important principle: the just shall live by faith. That is the only peg that they had to hang their hats on, or their lives on, should I put it that way. The just shall live by faith. Was this prophecy fulfilled? We all know it was. 586 BC, the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, came in and just destroyed the kingdom of Judah and took the people captive. How does it apply to us now? That's an important question, right? We know the story, what happened to Judah, an impending judgment. How does it apply to us? Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 21. Sorry, 27. Did I say 21? 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and 27. And it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and thereafter judgment. I also like to read a couple of verses from Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. See, the Apostle Paul here is writing to mankind. He says, the first word is you. He says, mankind, therefore you have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you pass judgment and do the same things And you're condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. You know, there is a saying that if you point a finger at someone else, there's three fingers pointing back at you, right? That's basically what God is, I mean, what Paul is saying. See? verse 2 there. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Verse 4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? What is Paul saying? You see, he says, when you point fingers at another person, remember that you are sinful too. It's sin what matters, right? It's sin what matters. Okay, you can point a finger at another person if you're perfect. But if you're not, you can't. And God is judge. God will judge. God's judgment will fall. But he says, when God is for, you know, God is kind for, and his forbearance and is patient with you. See, that's when he does, when he's like that, then he should lead you to repentance. Turn back from the things that you do. Do not judge another man. That's not for you to do. Verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. When his righteous judgment will be revealed, you will repay each person according to what you have done. His judgment is based on what you have done. Your deeds, right? Deeds based on what? The law that God has given. The Ten Commandments say. You should not lie. What is the Ten Commandments? It's a set of do's and don'ts. Things that you should not do and things that you should do. Can you keep that law? If you really can keep that law, you're righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ said that even if you look at someone else with lust, you have committed adultery. You see, God sees your heart and your mind, your intent of your heart. You see, the intent of the law is not just doing. You're guilty before God, right? You cannot keep the law. God's punishment will be in accordance to our deeds, our works, based on the law's requirements. Acts chapter 17 and 31. This is Apostle Paul speaking in Athens. Verse 31 says, for he, God, has set a day. See, God always has an appointed day for everything. You know, he's very organized. He's not like some of us. Our God is very organized. You see, he says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. Who is that man? He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Who is that one man who is qualified to judge humankind? The Lord Jesus Christ. So how does Habakkuk apply to us? The scripture is clear, right? Because they've talked about judgment on Southern Kingdom then in the book of Habakkuk. We are waiting for impending judgment. Judgment by our God. Man has one chance to live, because you die after that. And there's going to be judgment after that. That's what the scripture says. We will stand before a righteous, holy God to account for our lives, what we have done. Would you be guilty of one of those five woes? then you're guilty before God. And what would be the verdict? You're justified or you're condemned. Two verdicts, right? One of the two will apply to you. Just like those prisoners, the two prisoners we talked about at first. One of them was justified because he was found innocent. The other one was guilty and was condemned to jail. Justified or condemned. Righteous or sinful. On your way to heaven or on your way to hell. Those are the only two options you have, right? Do we stand a chance? If God is going to judge us based on our works and our deeds, do we stand a chance? Can any one of us be justified based on what we have done, based on God's law, based on our deeds, based on our works? Can God, a holy, righteous, holy God, can he justify us? I think the only way we can be justified is with that principle that God gave Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And you'll be the remnant. There won't be too many of those. The just shall live by faith. That's what I want to look at today. Let's turn to Romans 1. Actually, so just to save time, I printed these verses out for me in those versions that are easier to read. Romans 1 and 17. I'd like to read from verse 16. This is Apostle Paul speaking to the Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, or in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The very same principle that God gave Habakkuk is repeated for us in the New Testament by Apostle Paul in his writing to the Romans. And we know that Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, okay, what does he emphasize? The book of Romans. Justification, right? It's very clear. We know that. Chapters 3, 4, 5. Justification. Justification. The emphasis is on the just. The Hebrew word for just is a word tzaddik. Tzaddik, S-A-D-D-I-Q. Hope I'm pronouncing it right. The just means the righteous. You know, some of your versions probably has translated the word just, which is in King James, as righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. Justified, righteous before God. That's what it means. A right standing before God, legally speaking, based on the law. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, having been justified, cleared from every charge from God. Justified, that's what it means. Sinless, perfect. You see, the man who was innocent was released from jail because he was justified. Because he didn't do the crime. He was sinless. He was discharged. Therefore being justified or clear from every charge before God, therefore being justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified is what's emphasized in the book of Romans. The ones who are justified, the ones who are righteous, will live by faith. You see the connection here in that verse, Romans 5 and 1, between faith and justified, the word just. Those who are justified before God have faith in God. You see? And the vice versa, those who have faith in God are justified before God. Amazing, isn't it? That's the only way you and I can be justified. There's no other way. We're all guilty otherwise. By faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gives us justification, righteousness. Turn to Galatians 3 and 11. Galatians 3 and 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Second time, God repeats it in the New Testament for us. Again, in Paul's writing to the Galatians. No man is justified by the law. You cannot be justified by keeping the law. You see, that's what it says. There's no way, because you cannot keep the law. Look at verse 6. Again, Paul uses Abraham as an example here. Even as Abraham kept the law of God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Is that what it says? Even as Abraham kept the law of God, no, that's not what it says. Abraham believed. The word believe and faith are synonymous. Even as Abraham had faith in God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. It is faith that gives you righteousness, faith in the Son of God. Verse 24, also the same chapter. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Again, you see connection, justified by faith. But what was the purpose of the law? That's what Paul is saying. The purpose of the law was to teach us, was a schoolmaster, it was to teach us that we are sinful beings. That was the purpose of the law. That was why the Ten Commandments was given, or the law of God was given, because without the law, you would have not known what sin is. Because sin is disobedience of that law. If there's no law, there's no sin. So the law was given to teach us what sin is, that we are sinful beings. Because we cannot keep the law. And what is emphasized here in Galatians? Look at Galatians 2:20. The time is going, so I'm kind of a little rushing here. 2:20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You see that word repeating, live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The emphasis is live. Live. In Romans, we saw that the emphasis was just. The just shall live by faith. Here, the Spirit of God is emphasizing the word live. What does live really mean? The way I like to describe it is with a commercial that I saw on TV, the Subaru car commercial. You probably remember. It starts off with a clip of a tow truck driver looking at in disbelief of on a wrecked car, completely a demolished car, smashed and mangled up. And then by looking at that car, there's no way that the occupants of the car would have survived that crash. And then a police walks up to him, the tow truck driver, and says, they lived. Do you remember that? The commercial? And then the tow truck driver takes the car to the body shop, and the body shop manager looks at this car in disbelief. And the tow truck driver tells the manager of the body shop, they lived. And then the manager, in the body shop, the repairman or the technician was looking at the same car in disbelief. And the manager walks up to him and says, they lived. And finally, in the last clip of that commercial, you see that the repaired car, the restored car, in the front driveway of the owner of the car. And there was two kids and their mother following and running into the car. And this man, who was probably the dad of the kids, pausing back behind that car and looking at the car in disbelief, a restored car, and saying, we lived. That is the meaning the word live, surviving in God's judgment day. I hope everyone here can say on that day that we lived. We lived. The secret of that survival on that judgment day is the just shall live, survive by faith. One last verse I'd like to look at, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. I'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It is the third time this phrase is repeated for us in the New Testament. It is four times in the scriptures. Is it important for us? You understand that principle? What is the emphasis in Hebrews chapter 10 and 11? He's just getting into chapter 11, right? 11 is a chapter of faith. And we looked at it last time and we were talking about faith. The emphasis faith is faith. The just shall live by faith. There's no other alternative for us. That is the only way we can be justified before our God, of our righteous, holy God. That's the only way. In Christ, with Christ, Christ righteousness. That's the only way we can be justified before holy righteous God. I wanted to read through a few more scriptures in chapter 11 of Hebrews, but we don't have time. But I think you got the idea. Such an important principle. If there's one thing you should remember from the book of Habakkuk, is that the just shall live by faith. Justified by faith. You'll live by faith. Faith is the most important thing. I'd like to close with a hymn. "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." This hymn number 509. Gina, would you like to come and read it?
Number 509.
So sweet. Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know us as the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, for grace to trust Him more. Sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just to feel the grave to plunge in, need the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more. Jesus, Jesus. so glad.